basically our point guard, two guard, guarding their power forward, and he says, get that out of here. Brown with two stands down onto the Kupo. Tatum drives down and throws it down. Wow! I tell you, this is getting ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Celtics Pulse podcast. I am your host today, Tim Shields. And I'm joined today with a fellow NBA fan, a Laker fan, on with Mr. Rick Gibson. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing good, doing good. Before we get into things too much, I do want to give a shout out to one of our sponsors, Yamble. Yamble is a brand new sports prediction app that lets you predict what will happen on the next play or the next few minutes of a game. You can place your takes on any game and rack up points as they play out. Highest scores get paid out real cash every game. Think of it like HQ Trivia, 100% free to play, and play with payouts each game. Just search Yamble on the App Store or Google Play. So feel free to check it out. They're running 3 to 5 games per week during the NBA playoffs. So download now and start yambling. It's a really good app, guys. Give it a go. Today, we are going to be talking a lot about what's going on with the playoffs, specifically with Steph Curry's performance, comparisons with how he's played it in the regular season versus the playoffs. Of course, the crazy matchup between Giannis, the Greek Freak, and Kawhi Leonard, and just overall predictions for the conferences. And then we'll go a little bit into the offseason, talking about draft prospects for the Lakers, ideal trade packages, and some predictions for next year. So, going off of that, what are your thoughts, Gibson? I gotta say, it's a little bit discouraging to see Steph kind of, you know, not be Steph when you need him to be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the talk. And, you know, if you watch ESPN or any sports analyst, I mean, that's kind of the overwhelming thought behind it. But if you really dig into the stats, I mean, the guy is playing, I mean, about the same as the regular season. I think that it gets overblown a little bit. I mean, if you look at the playoffs, he's averaging 25 points a game in the playoffs. In the regular season, he was averaging 27. So he's not far off of that. Now he is attempting less three-pointers. So, you know, he does have some room to make up there. I think with Kevin Durant being out this series, you're going to see those attempts go up, and you're going to see those points per game go up. I mean, we've already seen it the last two games when Kevin Durant's out. He really steps up.
Yeah, and I mean, you expect that from a guy like Steph Curry, too. You know, I think, as you were saying, with being overblown, I think a lot of it is overblown. Personally, for me, I think Steph is not been as hot as he usually is this year. But, I mean, he's still Steph Curry. You know, he's still that light-out shooter. Part of it might be the fact that there is some kind of issues going on in the background. I do think not having Kevin Durant in the lineup is going to give him more looks. And I think if you let a shooter like him get hot, then you're going to have problems. At the end of the day, it's still Golden State, you know. Like,
absolutely.
It's still the Warriors. They're still this absolute juggernaut. And they are the team to beat, no question about it, I think. Having Kevin Durant out will definitely impact Steph Curry's play, but for better or worse, I think he'll be, you know, that hero that Golden State's had for all these years. That's the beauty of it with that lineup, is because they've got so many different people who can step up and fill the void. And at the end of the day, it's almost like Durant is kind of like that poison. Like, he's that killer. He's like that venom that you add to it. They were already lethal without it. They didn't need it. It's going to be interesting to see how they go against Portland right now, because I think Portland's got a lot of things going for them momentum-wise, and especially I think Dame Lillard's been playing some really great basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with that. I think both backcourts are really going to show out. You know, obviously Dame didn't perform the way he wanted to, but he's got that killer mindset. You know, if anybody's a Dame fan, it's me. You know, I have loved Dame's to come into the league. I think Kobe was a huge fan of him as well, just because of his killer. And I mean, he definitely has that. So I expect him to bounce back. But, you know, as far as Steph Curry's performance goes, I mean, he's right on par with, you know, previous years. And just his points per game, or I mean, just right on from last year. I mean, last year it was 25 points a game is what he averaged, and they want to ship with that. Now, I know with Durant being out, his usage rate's definitely going to go up, and you're going to see some 40-point performances. I mean, just two games ago, that 33-point second half was just amazing. So I think that you're going to see the usage rate go up this series. I think you're going to see those phenomenal just trademark Steph games. And, you know, he's going to shut a lot of the haters up. I mean, that just is what it is. And the Warriors being a juggernaut really, really is just scaring the league to death. I mean, it's just kind of, you know, where KD's going to go this offseason, you know, I mean, they'll pick it up somewhere else. I mean, people want to play with these guys, and there's a reason for that. And that's because Steph and Clay and the Warriors offense, they move the ball. And it's beautiful basketball to watch, and I'm sure it's fun to play.
Oh, yeah. It seems like they really enjoy themselves for the most part. I mean, that's the reason why whenever there's even a scent or even a hint of any kind of disdain or, you know, turmoil in that locker room, you know, you have this media frenzy. It's like piranhas. They just get a little bit of blood in the water, and all of a sudden it's just blown out of proportion to the nth degree. I will say, wasn't it 27 points in that fourth quarter that Steph had? Like, that's insane, right? Like, that, it was the 27 in the fourth. That was the time that we had Harden going absolutely silent in that fourth. Another team that just can't get over the hump there. That's the thing with Steph, you know, like, even if he's having a bad game, you can't depend on him to have a bad game, like, the whole time, you know? Like, you can't let up on him. The teams that can really bother him on the defensive side of things are the teams that are going to be successful. I think Steph has to step up into that usage role, as you said. If they're bumping up his usage in the offense, I expect him to see some double teams, because it's going to be, that's the way they're going to try and do it. It's just, if you bottle up one of the splash bros, you know, you're forcing the other one to carry that weight. Without Durant there, that creates some issues. I think if Durant can make it back for this series, then that will be a huge deal, just because I don't think, if you look at the lineup wise, I mean, you've got two amazing backcourts, as you said before. If you're trying to go against, you know, the Warriors and they don't have Kevin Durant, that's a plus side for you. But Kevin Durant could be the real game changer, because I don't think there's not many people in the league that can go against Kevin Durant, but there's definitely no one on the Trailblazers that's going to give Kevin Durant real problems. He's just one of those players that's just an absolute beast. And I think, where he goes in the offseason, that is going to be a hot topic. You know, I think the Clippers are in play. I do think the Lakers are in play to a certain degree. There's a lot of options on the table for guys like this. Same thing with Kyrie Irving too, and eventually when we get to it, Anthony Davis. A little bit less so, because he it depends where the Pelicans are willing to trade him to. But this offseason is going to be crazy, especially as you mentioned before with Clay. You know, you don't know if Clay's going to stay in Golden State. He's saying, you know, he's walking that walk or talking that talk right now, but we don't know really how that situation is going to really unravel at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the off season is going to be absolutely insane. I don't know if I look forward more to the regular season or the off season. I mean, playoffs are a different story, obviously, but you know, like you said, Durant is a special character when it comes to, you know, him coming back. You know, I think if I'm the Warriors, I see how game two plays out. Obviously, you know, they expect to win, but plays out, and I rest him if possible. I mean, the guy's he's 7 foot that can move the ball like a guard. He has the wingspan of a pterodactyl. I mean, he's just an amazing player, and a generational player that, I think, is going to be a great addition for any team. But they're going to need him for next round. Whether it's, with Giannis and whether it's with Kawhi and the Raptors. But either way, I think Steph, to the original thought, I think Steph has really kind of shut some haters up. Really just shown why he is the greatest shooter of all.
Yeah, I think he's lights out. The guy is absolute nails. There's not really too much you can knock him on in his career, especially now where he's just riding this wave of success. Under Steve Kerr as coach. Probably one of the best hires in NBA history, I think. Just how quickly that ship turned around. And getting back to that with Kevin Durant being that generational type player. You know, on the other side in the Eastern Conference, you got two generational players going against each other. And it's a heck of a matchup so far. I think, you know, I think overall roster-wise, I think the Bucks have the edge there. But it's really going to come down to which star is going to be able to bring their team to glory between, you know, Giannis and Kawhi. Kawhi, honestly, one of my favorite players in the league. I didn't like how the situation with the Spurs shook out. Just because I think the Spurs are a great organization, and I just expected a little bit more from Kawhi and the Spurs on that. It's just disappointing just because, you know, you see a guy like that go on and win a championship at such a young age with that organization. I just saw that going on a lot longer than it did. And who knows really what ultimately the end of the day there caused the issues. But, I mean, Kawhi was great with the Spurs. I mean, he was the youngest Finals MVP since Magic Johnson, so that's a heck of a claim, you know. And he went against LeBron James at age 21 and managed to go toe-to-toe with the guy. So it will be interesting to see how that situation with Giannis goes out, too, because Giannis is probably one of the best young players we've seen in the league in a while, and he's just a force. I mean, I think him and Durant going at one another would be really something to see in the finals, especially considering the rest of the roster that you've got around Durant versus what they've got in Milwaukee there. But going against Giannis in the playoffs sucks. I'll tell you that much. It sucks.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably speak from experience there, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the thing I will say is Giannis is such an athletic freak. So like he travels a lot of ground in more ways than one. You know, he kind of gets away with that extra step just because he's so damn lanky. I don't know if that's ever going to change with him. I mean, the thing it's, if anything, with this playoff series, that Boston had with Milwaukee is, Boston didn't improve where they needed to improve on. They made a mistake by not getting rid of Rozier when they should have. That really came back to bite them firmly in the ass. And I, for a while, was saying they should have traded him at draft night. They should have done this. They should have done that. I don't think the Ibaka trade was the answer, but I think they could have jettisoned him in a pick for another player. It should have been something they looked at. You know, at the end of the day, I think he was a guy that the Celtics really, really liked. They wanted to keep around. And at the end of the day, there was just too much friction between him and Kyrie Irving. It sucks because, you know, I'm a big fan of both players. And I don't know if it's the issues in the locker room with Boston. I don't want to say that those were the only reasons why they lost to the Bucks. The Bucks are a very well-built team. About half of their roster is over 6'7", so they've got a lot of size to them. And that's just a nightmare to go against, especially when a bunch of them are able to shoot from the field. I mean, three of the bigs that they added combined shoot, you know, over 34-35% from three. So you're going against that every game, that's going to be a problem. But, you know, a team like the Bucks is a good example of how you want to try and build your team in the future now. You want to be able to add bigs that stretch the floor. And I think having a guy like Al Horford is great, but, you know, Horford turning 33, you know, he could opt out and sign a longer deal for less money. I think the Celtics should pursue that this summer. And I think, if anything, for me as a Celtics fan, it's added more urgency to the fact that maybe Anthony Davis, we really do need to go out for him, or a big that is in that same kind of play style. You need a guy who can play the four or five, who can stretch the floor, and at least keep pace with guys like Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, specifically Giannis Antetokounmpo. If you're going to have to go against the Greek Freak for the next 10-plus years, you got to have a guy who can keep pace with him. And there's no other guys except maybe Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins that can really bring it to him. You know, and it's a matter of being able to acquire a guy like that and make sure he fits in your roster. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I think getting Anthony Davis is a game changer for either the Celtics or the Lakers, who have been really, really deeply connected to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You know, I have some friends that are Celtics fans that, you know, I talked to them about it. And, you know, they were just kind of dumbfounded by the season. I listened to the last podcast and, you know, I heard you guys talk about just the fact that there's too many cooks in the kitchen. and you know that there was an issue with Kyrie or Terry Rozier, you know, kind of ruining the locker room. And I think it was kind of a mixture of both for them guys. But I mean, Kyrie just kind of really fell off in the playoffs. I mean, that's just really what it was about. I mean, he shot 38%.
He had five good games.
Yeah.
He had five good games, and then he just disappeared. Yeah. And I don't, you know, it sucks because, you know, he was the one who said, you know, the whole season, you know, that's why I'm here. I'm here for the postseason. You know, I'm not worried about the postseason because I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, and for a guy like that to go and disappear, it's a fucking problem, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and when you talk about building a roster and with the Lakers and the Celtics both gunning for AD, you know, it's going to be a game changer either way. I mean, so if one of them, you know, wind up getting AD, I mean, that's going to be huge. But I can tell you right now that both rosters definitely aren't built right now to win a championship. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, the Lakers not even making the playoffs. The Bucks, you know, I'm sorry, the Celtics, you know, getting bounced. I mean, you can clearly tell both rosters are not constructed to win a championship. You know, that's just the reality of it. You know, I think that Brown and Tatum are excellent players. I think Kuzma and Ingram are excellent players. I think they'll be a great piece to a championship team, but you have to have that second player. And unfortunately for Boston, Gordon Hayward was not that. Now, when you look at the Bucks roster, you know, like you said, they're super lanky, and that's just the reality of the NBA today. The more length you have, the better it is. When you have guys like Middleton shooting lights out, and they really don't have that second star, but Giannis makes up a lot of that, you know, and the way he travels the floor, you know, is pretty amazing. I mean, he can get from one end to another. I mean, probably the quickest player since John Wall and LeBron James. He gets down there pretty quick, and if you don't have somebody to run with him or somebody to challenge him, then you're going to be in trouble. So I think both rosters have some improvement to do if they're going to be up there with, you know, the upper echelons.
Yeah, no doubt. Before we go any further, I'm just going to have us take a quick break for an ad, and we'll be right back in a moment. Alrighty, so getting back into it, guys, I definitely think with the Celtics roster construction as well as with the Lakers, I think the big thing at the end of the day is seeing who's compatible and what you're going to have to give up in any potential deal for a player like Anthony Davis, or if another star like, let's say, a Bradley Beal type gets available. I think there's a lot of situations that could happen and play out this summer. And it will be interesting to see what the Lakers try and do, too. As you were saying before we took our break, you know, we had Kyle Kuzma there as well as Brandon Ingram. Now, I think Kyle Kuzma might all around be one of the Lakers' best players that they have on the roster, not named LeBron James. And I think he's probably a guy that they want to try and keep in L.A. Now, the one thing I worry about with Ingram, of course, is the blood clots. I hope he comes back and he's healthy, because I know that stuff really messed with Chris Bosh's career and ended it prematurely. So my thoughts are with him on that. And I know Lonzo is recovering from surgery as well. And there was that whole debacle with Magic on that. So I hope that's okay as well, too, because there's a lot of young talent on both sides. And I think it's a matter of those franchises making an environment where you can not only have these young guys grow, but they don't have to have this weight over their heads, held over their heads, if they're going to get traded or not, you know? I think that really kind of, to put it bluntly, fucked up both of their seasons in a way. You know, you had all these rumors going about with the Lakers and the Celtics about this Anthony Davis talk, or are they going to trade for him? Are they going to trade for him in the offseason? Are they going to trade for him on draft night? Who knows? But that has to leak in the locker room a little bit, you imagine, right?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just think about it. I mean, you're dealing with younger guys that haven't been in the league too long. So, you know, chemistry is everything. I mean, if you look at, you know, any ex-NBA player, I mean, that's one of the first things they talk about But when a team's going to be successful, it's based on the chemistry and, you know, how that's working. If you don't have great chemistry in a locker room, and you don't have guys playing for each other, I mean, that's just what you're going to deal with. I mean, and I think you saw that from both sides, the Lakers and the Celtics, you know, and it was kind of hard to flourish as a young player dealing with that. I mean, the Celtics dealing with a new superstar. I mean, look at both teams. Both teams added a superstar to the roster. And, you know, sometimes that takes a toll. And L.A. and Boston are the premier teams in the league, you know, along with, you know, others. But they're the talk of the town a lot of the times. And, you know, especially dealing with the media in those cities can be rough. And, you know, there's rumors that spill out, especially in today's age with social media. I mean, you're going to deal with that. And the thing is that having young guys in the locker room, having talks of trade can really damage a player's psyche. And then, you know, that weighs on them on the floor. I mean, I think you've seen it, especially with Kyle Kuzma this year. I'm a huge Kuzma fan. And just watching him play this year was, it just looked different. He didn't look put together. He didn't look confident. There were some games where, you know, he exploded. But, you know, I feel like the consistency wasn't there, and that's because they weren't playing with for each other. And, you know, I think you can, you know, speak to that from the Celtics' point is, you know, the same things were going on. I mean, you know, it seemed like they were almost hesitant to pass the ball, you know, and they wanted to get their looks.
Yeah, definitely. Especially with Tatum, too. You know, Tatum yeah. and Kuzma are in that same boat now where it's like that kind of sophomore slump. I mean, they're both, like, very young players, so, you know, it's just a matter of getting, you know, getting back into the swing of things. And I think, yeah, these rumors over the summer, and especially with Kawhi, too, there was all the Kawhi talk. We're not even talking about Anthony Davis now. We're talking about back-to-back summers now going into it where you don't know if you're going to still be on the roster come training camp, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that like I said, it weighs on a player's psyche, you know, whether they're valued or not, you know. I mean, they were drafted. They put their heart and soul into that. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business. And, you know, teams got to do what's in their best interest. Unfortunately for the Lakers, I feel like, you know, it's no secret. They've made some terrible, terrible decisions. You know, I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, the leadership in place. That everybody was on the same page, and it showed on the court, and it showed, you know, leaking out of the front office with different rumors. I mean, all those things weigh on a player. I mean, they read, no matter how many times they say they do not look at social media, I mean, it's everywhere. They're going to see it. Somebody's going to tell them about it. And, you know, I think that's what you're talking about is, you know, players having an issue with management and rumors that are happening. And, you know, unfortunately, it didn't weigh in their favor.
Yeah, and when you look at the situation too, I think the Lakers just need to find some stability in the front office now. At this point, you've had this unfortunate situation where you had Magic Johnson coming in and trying to clean up, you know, the previous regime's mistakes, and you know that massive contract that got given to Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng, and then you had to jettison D'Angelo Russell just to get rid of one of those contracts. And then you end up going to, and that sucks because you go and see the guy succeed in Brooklyn, and he's been a hell of a player there. And, you know, who knows? Maybe if Lonzo gets dealt, you know, he makes his way back to L.A., but maybe that bridge is already burned, you know? It's one of those moves where you look back and you're kicking yourself over it, and Lord knows that both franchises have had that happen to them before. I think there's nothing bigger than Chauncey Billups, or even if you want to go revisionist hindsight 2020 on the draft, you know, Kelly Olynyk getting drafted before Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's one that's a recent memory, but there's, you know, there's a laundry list that you could go down with franchise mistakes with trades, but nothing hurts more than when you have to jettison a young talent just to get rid of a, you know, a massive albatross contract. It sucks, but in hindsight, I guess it's one of those things where hopefully the franchises learn from that. You know, the one thing I can say, at least with Magic, is, you know, when he went out and got these guys and added them to the team, you know, when you looked at it on paper, it was a bunch of one-year contracts. So you knew they weren't staying there long-term, and it kept the team, you know, in the running to go ahead and get another guy this summer. So I expect, yeah, the Lakers, especially with all these veterans, you know, having expiring deals, to be a very different team. It's just really the question of, you know, what young assets are going to be left. Because I think regardless of what happens with Anthony Davis, if he ends up with the Knicks, if he doesn't go anywhere, or if he ends up with the Lakers or the Clippers or some other, you know, random team, or even the Celtics, you know, I think there's going to be other superstars on the move. As I said, with Bradley Beal, too, I think Bradley Beal could be on the table. You've got John Wall with that massive contract. Now coming back from that injury, you wonder if a team's going to be willing to take it. I'm going to say probably no. But, you know, getting back to that, getting to the lottery, you know, you have the Pelicans getting the first overall pick. In some ways good, in some ways bad for teams that wanted to trade for Anthony Davis. But
yeah, who's seen that coming? I mean, nobody.
I did not. I'm just glad it's not the Knicks, man. Fuck the Knicks.
Me too. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I was, you know, I'll just kind of put you in looking through it in my eyes. You know, I was sitting in my living room. My wife and my 8-month year old son was sitting there with me. I was watching the lottery, and, you know, I kept on watching things tick away. You know, seeing the Celtics get the 14th pick. I'm sorry about that, but, you know.
One ball away from number four, man. One ball away. That's awful.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wish they didn't say anything.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was watching it go down, and, you know, as when they announced that the Lakers were going to get a top four pick, I mean, I screamed so loud. I think the neighbors heard me, and just almost cried tears of happy joy. And you know, I guess I scared my son, so he started crying. It was a whole thing. It was a whole thing. You know, but I didn't feel bad, because I was so damn happy that we were going to get a top four pick. Now, you know, in saying that, the top four pick can be used multiple different ways. I mean, you can use it as a trade bait, which, you know, is likely to happen, or you can go a different route. I think that that either way, we're set up for success when it comes to that. We just have to make the right decisions. Now, I think we need to add some shooting. LeBron James has been successful with shooters around him. So, you know, whether it's baiting that pick as a trade for Anthony Davis, or you know, using that pick to add a shooting guard, would be huge.
I think the one thing that's come out so far was actually out of Windhorse, who I know is kind of like a LeBron mouthpiece, is the Pelicans aren't interested. Even after the Lakers got that number four pick, they're not interested in it. I don't know how much I buy that, but the fact that it's coming from someone from LeBron's camp kind of is a blow to the odds of it happening. I think there's been a lot of bad blood there, and it probably didn't help to have Greg Popovich say, "Don't you dare trade with the Lakers," and like getting on their case. And it's not surprising, because it's just kind of the politics side that we don't really see with the NBA. But I do think there's a lot of other options on the table. I do think a guy that the Lakers really should target, and I've said this for a while, and it's a guy that if Anthony Davis gets dealt elsewhere or stays put, I would love the Celtics to try and go after, is Bradley Beal. I think he's one of the best two-way players in the league. He's a lights-out shooter, and when you make him a focal point in your offense, he's just buckets. I think he's a guy that if you put in a Lakers uniform, not only is he going to put asses in seats, but he's going to be someone that the city of L.A. is going to fall in love with. I think he's a hell of a player. I always have liked Bradley Beal. So, you know, he's a guy that you could probably get with the number four pick, but it's just a matter of what other assets you have to add in. I'm not sure exactly how the CBA works in this regard, but if you have enough cap space, you know, I don't know how much salary you have to send back technically, because you could absorb a deal into, you know, your empty cap space, but I don't know if there's a minimum or maximum amount that you can do with that. But, I mean, if it's a situation where you're dealing, you know, Lonzo Ball, number four pick, and then other salary filler and maybe another pick, maybe that's what it is. I mean, it really depends on where the Wizards are at with their roster and what they're thinking, too. There's a lot of players that I feel like we're going to hear coming out of the woodwork that are available. I think there's another star somewhere out there that's disgruntled. that we're probably just not hearing any noise about. It's almost kind of like the art of distraction. Like, we're hearing about Anthony Davis, and it's like, oh, like, where's Kawhi Leonard going to go? Where's Kyrie Irving going to go? Where's Kevin Durant going to go? And then, like, you know, a guy like
Kemba
Walker. Yeah, exactly. Like, a guy like Kemba Walker, who is very much a superstar, very much a stud. We don't know where he's going to go, and all of a sudden he'll, like, end up signing with, like, L.A. or something like that, you know? So there's a lot of options out there. It's the beauty of, as you said before, for me, the NBA offseason is one of my favorites because for the longest time, you know, it's the same thing with the Lakers where they haven't been in it deep in this playoff run. So it's like, all right, well, now what am I doing until, like, the finals are wrapped up, you know? So you've got the draft on the 20th, and now they bump back the moratorium date until the 30th, so it'll be interesting to see if there's any deals that happen before that moratorium period, especially with the Celtics and the Lakers, because you don't know who's going to be going anywhere in the offseason. Very much what happens on the draft night could really be telling in terms of if there's a trade that's agreed upon, or it's going to be, you know, trade for a guy 3 months down the line after you sign into his rookie contract. I mean, all bets aside, I personally, it's hard for me to get ramped up for the draft because I feel like I don't expect the Celtics to keep whoever they draft. You know, I expect there to be some kind of trade, even if it isn't an Anthony Davis type. I don't expect him to, you know, sit on these picks. You know, it's a good thing in some ways that Grizzlies pick didn't convey. It would have been cool to have that asset this year, but I mean, now it could be a top 8 pick next year, or even after that, it's unprotected. So, interesting to see that they're going to be selecting Ja Morant probably at number 2. That's kind of been the noise that's been leaking out. So that leaves RJ Barrett to go to the Knicks at 3. But all other talk aside, I know with the trade talks at 4, there's a very good chance that that pick goes somewhere. But if you were to sit at that spot, what would you be trying to go for, Rick? Who would you want at number 4?
I mean, as far as who I think the Lakers should target, Jarrett Culver is out of Texas Tech is, you know, he's a shooter. The guy can really, really drop him in. And, you know, I think that if the Lakers are going to target someone, I would look at Jarrett Culver or Darius Garland. That's just who I think they should target. Now, it just depends on what's going to happen. I mean, you know, they may trade back. I mean, and try to acquire another pick to give to the Pelicans. I'm just not sure. But if I was going to go after anybody, and like you said, it's hard to really look forward to who we're going to get because you just expect them to trade that pick or that asset. But, you know, if I had to put money on it and they're going to keep that fourth pick, then I would go with Jarrett Culver out of Texas Tech. I think he's an amazing player. I believe he averaged 18 points a game. He's definitely an offensive threat. Now, Darius Garland is definitely more of a two-way player. He can, you know, definitely help a team out defensively, which the Lakers need. But, you know, we also need some shooting. It just wasn't there. I mean, Kuzma can create his own shot. Ingram can sometimes. But those guys aren't knockdown shooters. We need some knockdown shooters, whether it's trading that pick for a Bradley Beal or, you know, drafting a shooter. Someone that can put it in the hole. I mean, that's just all we got to worry about. And, you know, like I said, if I put my money on it, it's going to be Jarrett Culver out of Texas Tech.
Yeah, and I think that's a solid pick, especially, you know, considering, as you said, the Lakers roster concerns and what their, you know, immediate needs are. I feel like you've got your top 3 picks. You know, obviously you're going to have Zion, you're going to have Ja Morant, who kind of emerged as this, you know, number 2 overall pick, just consensus across the board. And then you've got RJ Barrett, who's just got a lot of that hype around him, especially when he was in high school too. But then the rest of it, it's not like there's a drop off, but you know, it's a 3-man draft. And after that, it's, you know, it's take your pick. You know, there's a lot of deep talent in this draft. It's just now it's not a consensus. There's no overall number 4 overall pick. There's no number all, like, you know, 14th overall, this is the guy you should take, you know. That's why a lot of people like to get in the top 3, top 5 in a draft, especially if it is, you know, a 3-man or a 5-man draft. You have those consensus picks. You got, like, these guys that are pegged to be stars, to be potential future all-stars. After that point, it's just it's not a roll of the dice, but, you know, it's you test your luck, try your luck, see who will add more to your team. For me as a Celtics fan, yeah. If we somehow keep the pick, I mean, do we roll the dice on a guy like Bol Bol? Like, is he a guy that you want in the Celtics, or do you go after a power forward and try and cook up something there? You know, for me, I personally want to try and see if I can get someone to lessen that load for Al Horford, someone that I could eventually see starting in the lineup. Maybe he's not in the draft. Maybe that's someone that we have to trade for. And with that in mind, who do you jettison to go get him? So ideally, I would like to go and try and get, you know, a younger guy. And if it takes picks, it takes picks. But it's another situation where, you know, you've got another asset with Memphis pick that's carried over to next year at the earliest. And you've got 3 first-round picks this year. So you could do a lot with that in terms of trades, but you have to make sure money works. You still have, you know, the Kyrie Irving situation to play out. So where do you move from there? Do you move on draft night? And there's definitely talks going on. There's definitely some conversations behind closed doors that I'm sure in 2 months we'll probably hear about. Wick Grauspick, who's part of the ownership team, the owner for the Celtics, he was on the radio talking about, you know, Kyrie, talking about the team, saying it was a hard Celtics team to love. And when he was questioned and pushed on Kyrie Irving, he's just, you know, I'm not going to comment on that any further. You know, I'm going to keep that conversation private. So I don't know if that bodes well, bodes poorly. I think it's more so, hey, this is ongoing conversations. And I think he probably just wants to keep a tight ship, which means they're probably working on something.
He's gone, bro. I'm sure the Celtics team, I'm sure his teammates will pack his bags for him. I mean, I just don't think the chemistry worked. I don't think he liked being there. I mean, it was an ugly scene. I didn't expect that, actually. I expected it to work, but I think he's gone.
But here's the question too, is why the reasons why it didn't, you know, like where was the issues there? And if that's the case, you know, at the end of the day, the Celtics can still offer him more mm-hmm. money. So is there a chance where he signs a contract with the Celtics and gets flipped for, you know, another star?
Yeah.
And that's always a possibility, too. Maybe they end up sending him to a team that he wants to go to and sign him to this big contract and, you know, send him on his merry way. Because, you know, at the end of the day, the Celtics still have his rights, which gives them the ability to pay him a lot more than anyone else ever can. And so if he's really worried about the money and wants to go to a different spot, maybe they try and work something out. But I don't know. It really is just – it's dependent on where the friction was, like with the Celtics. Was it issues with – for some reason with Jaylen Brown? Was it issues with Tatum, which I don't think is the case, but we don't know for sure. You know, I don't think we ever will get the full picture. But there were clear issues with, you know, Terry Rozier, but how far did those issues run? Like, it clearly ran deep enough for Rozier to go on First Take and light Boston up. But where else does it go from there? You know, is it something that just completely dismantles the team? Is it half the roster versus the other half? Or is it only a few people and it's a matter of trading the right guys to get guys in to make him happy? And for me, I don't want it to turn into a LeBron situation where you have to trade guys in order to make him happy. You know, but Kyrie Irving is one of those players. He's one of those mercurial point guards that just he needs a certain way about him and he needs things to be his way. And if not, he gets sulky. But I think a lot of it's media driven, too. So it's for me personally, it's hard for me to be like, oh, like I can't be on him because like I am very much angry about his playoff performance. But I kind of have to take a breath, step back and just recognize that this wasn't the year that we all hoped for, and I bet that probably pisses him off, too. I think everyone went in with high goals, and when you don't reach those goals, it pisses people off. Things run sour, and there's probably a lot of tension there. It'll be interesting to see in 2 months what leaks out, but I definitely expect a lot of players that are on the roster now to be in different uniforms come July 7th.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Kyrie Irving, and obviously, you know, he's got superstar potential. He wanted to be the man, and, you know, he went to the Celtics, and, you know, I don't think that he necessarily fit in with the roster, whether it was Rozier or, you know, conflicts with him and other teammates. But it's going to be interesting to see what he does. I mean, does he go to New York, where he can be the big man on campus and team up with someone else, or does he run back to Big Brother and go to LA? I mean, you know, there's multiple talks of, you know, things happening, and, you know, it just speaks to how great the off season is in the NBA and how it just crushes every other sport, with their off season.
Yeah, it's just unnecessarily dramatic league, you know. And I think the deep playoff run without Kyrie probably hurt his ego a little bit, and it also boosted Terry Rozier. So therein lies your main issue. I think the team was so successful without Hayward and without Kyrie that probably both of those guys had bruised egos. And, you know, I think inserting them back into that situation where you've had these young guys carry you all the way to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron, to having to revert back to lesser roles, it probably pissed them off. And I think just happens that probably Terry Rozier is the most vocal because he had the most to gain and the most to lose. So, you know, I think, you know, there is definitely that LeBron connection. Although I think I read somewhere where Kyrie's camp immediately texted Stephen A. Smith and was like, there is absolutely no way he goes to L.A., but I refuse to rule anything out. Bridges yep. can be mended, so that's the beauty of the NBA. You never know what could happen. But going off of that, what is your ideal Anthony Davis trade package? You know, keeping money in mind, obviously, is not going to make trading for pennies on the dollar. Keeping the CBA in mind, what would be your ideal offer as a Lakers fan?
Well, you know, as a Laker fan that was a huge fan of building around a young core, you know, I didn't love the LeBron signing the first. Obviously, I want one of the, you know, top five players in the NBA. I mean, you know, so it is what it is. But I didn't like the initial trade. I mean, as I'm sure you didn't like the rumors that were going around with the Celtics either, saying they were going to trade the farm. You know, I don't want to trade everybody for him when the guy could sign here as a free agent, you know, sign in L.A. as a free agent. You know, if it's an ideal trade package, you know, you're going to have to give up everything. I mean, it's going to be Ingram. It's going to be Lonzo. It's going to be Kuzma. It's going to be the fourth round pick. And then probably Josh Hart as well. You know, it just that's what it's going to take to get, you know, the Pelicans, who I hate, by the way, to come off of Anthony Davis. That's just is what it is. And then when you do that, you get rid of your pieces. And then who are you going to sign? The Lakers next year have $37 million spent. So, you know, they got some money to spend. But you pair somebody like AD up, you know, or Kawhi, you know, and you're just going to have to give up the farm for AD. And I don't think I'm ready to do that. I think, you know, we should wait and see what happens. Go after some free agents this year and, you know, wait on the whole AD thing. I mean, that's where I'm at as a Laker fan. Now, obviously, I want him in a Laker uniform. His unibrow would look great in purple and gold. But, you know, at the same time, I don't want to give up everybody to get him. And in doing that, you're going to have to give up the players that I mentioned.
Yeah, and I think that's something you have to consider in any kind of superstar trade. And I think looking back at a situation like Paul George, too, where it was, you know, why give up these assets for a guy who could come here in free agency? And then, you know, a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder swoop in and make this deal, which in hindsight people thought was uneven and, you know, the Pacers should have got more for him. But at the end of the day, it worked out pretty well for both sides. But getting that guy in your system for an extra year, it's seemed to turn out to be all the difference that Oklahoma City needed in order to keep him there. I personally, for one, thought he was going to go to L.A., but the fact that, you know, they had that big party and everything, you know, it speaks volumes what it can do to have a guy in your system for a year. You know, the success that the Raptors are having right now, you know, I'm rooting for them to go to the finals just because it'd be really cool to see Kawhi there, and it's been a while since we've seen Kawhi versus Durant in the playoffs just because of his health concerns and the way things have matched up, and I think that would be a lot of fun in the finals to see. But that's another guy who you go ahead and you give up a lot for, you get him into your system, and who knows what happens when it comes to free agency. You know, I think it's really important to be able to get a guy in your system, and granted, while it's going to cost a lot to get him, if you're giving up guys that you're okay giving up and you know you can get a long-term commitment out of him, it changes the situation. You know, I think if the Lakers go ahead and get a guy like Anthony Davis and get him in your system and you have LeBron there, that's two stars. You know, that's two stars that you didn't have before in tandem, two of the best players on the planet. So if you go ahead and you manage to get another guy like that, or if you can trade away other pieces to go get, like, you know, maybe a guy who's on the rise, who's on a, you know, a rookie scale contract, or, you know, under max contract that is, you know, a star, that's a huge thing. That's a big three right there. And it's not as easy as it is, you know, to just talk about it like right we as we are right now, but, you know, superstars and stars in the NBA, they come and they go, and you have a lot of people getting sour and wanting a change of scene. So it very possibly could happen this summer that we have a bunch of superstars to say, you know what, fuck it, I want out. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, you know, we had all that sitting and sitting and sitting, and finally it took him till that summer to say, I want out. And then the trade got made. So, you know, I think the Lakers' best thing to do is to make a play that's going to not only keep them in contention, but, you know, if you can't get a team like the Pelicans to deal with you even after you get the number 4 overall pick and you have all those assets and they're just hell-bent on not trading with you, find a team that will. And I think a team like the Wizards is a team you should pounce on. And who knows, maybe a situation with the Grizzlies, too. Grizzlies are going to be getting rid of Mike Conley. They're a young rebuilding team. Maybe you can try and make something work out there. You know, Mike Conley is one of those guys. I think he's one of the best point guards in the league. He's a defensive stud. He's got health question marks, but he's a defensive stud. The real question is his contract. So there's a lot of options on the table for a team like the Lakers, especially, where they still have, outside of LeBron James, they have a lot of roster flexibility. But I get not wanting to give up the farm, too, especially with all the rumors that are going around about the Celtics. I mean, do I want to give up both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Hell no. But if it means I get a player like Anthony Davis, do I consider it? Like, who else do I have to keep? Who do I have to keep Kyrie happy? I don't want to send Marcus Smart on a deal, and apparently him and Kyrie are, you know, really, really good friends, so maybe that impacts the trade situation too. So it's difficult, especially in the NBA when you don't know what these franchises are looking for sometimes. They just want to get rid of a guy, and now it's, okay, who's going to be throwing me the most picks? Who's throwing me the most young talent? And I think that's right now with New Orleans having that number 1 overall pick really, really tanks the chances of a lot of teams trying to swoop in and get him, because I think now their priority, if they're trading Anthony Davis away, is going to be building around Zion. You concur?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I believe that if Anthony Davis gets traded to either the Lakers or the Celtics, it makes him a playoff team right away. I think that if every team in NBA didn't fucking hate the Lakers, then we probably would have.
Success breeds hatred, I guess, you know? Like, I think you would have had him by now, too, probably. It was that close, you know? I think the Lakers had that missed opportunity with Paul George, and they should have just done their best to get Kawhi Leonard in there. And I think the Celtics made that mistake, too. If the asking price was Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and a first-round pick, the Celtics should have just done it. But we don't really know what the talks were, if they even made talks at all. Maybe they were happy sitting pat, but Lakers have had those opportunities too. Both teams have, and sometimes the trades that you don't make are the best trades.
Yeah, I mean, and you're going to see that a lot with just this offseason being so crazy. I mean, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a tug and war back and forth between teams. Like I said, I think every team just fucking hates the Lakers, and that's just how it's going to be. And we're going to have to give up everybody to get somebody. Now, I love the idea of getting Bradley Beal. I think he would add some shooting to a desperate need of the Lakers is 3-point shooting. And you know, that would be a great asset. I don't think you'd have to give up everybody to get him. And in my opinion, I think the Wizards are in rebuild mode.
Yeah. And I they're one of those teams that should be rebuilding based on, you know, what their current trajectory is. It just sucks that you like signed John Wall to this massive contract. We really don't know what the hell is going to happen after it. So, you know, that's a situation where I think Beal is going to end up out. And who knows, maybe something happens with Wall. You know, you already jettisoned Porter to the Bulls, and I think he's going to be a nice player for them, too. But at the end of the day, I think it's all just a matter of chance and luck and being in the right spot at the right time with the right assets. That being said, what are your predictions, at least for the off season, the immediate predictions? And that includes conference finals. Who do you think is going to win those as well?
So conference finals, you know, as far as the Eastern Conference goes, I think that Giannis is just too much for any team to handle besides the Warriors. So any team that are not named the Warriors, I don't think anybody's going to be able to handle him. I think the Warriors team defense can really help defend Giannis, but I just don't think that Kawhi can lead both ends. I mean, that's just asking a lot of a player. I mean, he's just having a fantastic playoff run, Kawhi is. And to ask him to guard the best player and score the most points, I mean, I just don't see that happening. And that's the reality of it. I mean, you know, that's when you look at these superstar players, you don't see them guarding the best player on the other team all the time. And that's what's going to be asked of Kawhi during that series. He's going to have to guard Giannis a lot just because of his length and, you know, Kawhi's a defensive freak. But at the same time, he's their best offensive player. So, you know, I think, you know, Giannis gets it done in the Eastern Conference. And I think Brooke Lopez continues his run of just destroying teams from outside and rebounding like crazy. Another asset the Lakers gave up that I was just piss poor sour about. But, you know, I would say the Bucks take the Eastern Conference. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would say Bucks in six. Only circumstance that changes is if we see Kyle Lowry like we did in game one. I think, as you said, Kawhi can't do it by himself, and I think it's about time that the other star, or so-called star, on the Raptors roster carries his load, you know? I think Kyle Lowry is really good at showing up in the regular season and not doing much in the playoffs. So if Kyle Lowry can continue and build on that success he had in Game 1, and Kawhi keeps being Kawhi, they might be able to make a series out of this. I think if it's not Bucks in six, it's Raptors in seven. I think either way, it's going to be one of those back-and-forth games, and it's whoever can steal that road game first. And I think if the Raps can come out and steal game two, they were close in game one, it's going to be a really interesting series. I think, as you said, Giannis and Kawhi are two generational players going back-to-back, you know, right at each other. It's just, it's one of those matchups that you really, really love as an NBA fan. So as much as it sucks to see the Celtics out, it's really cool to see a team go up like that. As the Western Conference is concerned, you know, I'm hoping the Trailblazers pull up some kind of upset, but I think it's going to be Warriors in five. You know, I think that game one was really a big deal. I think that was the game that the Trailblazers really needed to win in order to get a foot in the door to even to have the conversation of potentially making a run of this series.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I think that the Warriors are going to win in four or five. You know, I think the Blazers have a chance to steal one with, you know, Dame going off. I mean, CJ McCollum is definitely just a producer. He's going to give you, you know, his points every night. But, you know, I think injuries have really hurt the Trailblazers. And, you know, the Warriors have been there. You know, this is what they do. This is what Steph does. This is what Klay does. This is what Draymond does. And when Durant comes back, even if he doesn't come back this series, I mean, you know, I just think that, you know, the Warriors are going to be too much to handle. I mean, Draymond Green is just highly underrated. He's hated. Maybe not underrated. He's just so hated that people don't want to give him the credit he deserves. But I would take him on my team any day. I mean, the guy is just he's a go-getter. He's a hustler. He does all the dirty work. If you want somebody kicked in the nuts, I mean, that's what he's going to do. I mean, so, I mean, he's going to give you anything that he has and everything in the tank. Even though he's not a big time scorer, he fills up the stat sheet.
Yeah, he's a focal point.
That's too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's too much for the Blazers to handle. I think the Warriors in five, just like you said, you know, that kind of stinks. We see the same team back in it, but hey, that's what greatness does, you know, and that's what, you know, our teams are striving for, is to be great like that. So, you know, Warriors in five.
Yeah, amen to that. And I think it'll be interesting to see that matchup. I think Bucks versus Warriors would be a hell of a finals, and we'll see where it goes from there. Mm-hmm. Very much telling how this series goes for The Warriors, both in the Western Conference, and if they're, you know, if they manage to make it as we say they should, how they fare in the finals too. It'll be really interesting to see how the body language is from start to finish, especially after David West's comments after last year's championship. You know, you didn't know what was going on in the locker room. Let's see if any of that kind of bleeds out this year when the pressure is at its highest. With that in mind, give me like three predictions. It could be free agency, could be trades. What are your like three big predictions for this offseason before we wrap things up?
So as far as the Lakers go, I'll kind of start there. I think that they make a move with the fourth pick. And I think they try to steal someone like Bradley Beal. I could see Bradley Beal ending up in a Laker uniform. And, you know, I am definitely happy with that. And, you know, I think they need some shooting. If Washington's willing to do some trading, you know, I think that's going to happen. And, you know, I would love to see it happen.
Any other predictions before I go into mine?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the offseason goes, I mean, I think you're going to see the Pelicans. I think you're going to see David Griffin talk AD into staying. I mean, I think that him coming in brand new to the scene, he's going to be able to help AD in the fact that, hey, I've done this before. I've put together a championship team. This is what I do. And, you know, I think with Zion being out there, you know, who knows? You know, I know Zion's a, you know, once-in-a-lifetime player, but, I mean, hell, he could be a trade bait too. I mean, that could happen. So I think you see the Pelicans hold on to Anthony Davis, and I think that they get a big three together. And, you know, I think Zion's part of that. So, you know, I would say all the talk about Anthony Davis leaving, I think, you know, Griff talks him into staying, and he's going to use Zion Williamson as a huge building block for that team.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. As for my predictions, I do think that Kevin Durant leaves Golden State. I think the top three destinations are going to be, in no particular order, the Clippers, the Lakers, and I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to be in that conversation. I think the Nets also should be in consideration for DeMarcus Cousins. I think DeMarcus Cousins could either go to the Lakers or the Nets. I think especially if the Lakers go out and make a trade for another star, that isn't Anthony Davis. They go out and get a guy like Bradley Beal. I think if the Lakers added DeMarcus Cousins on a little bit under a max contract based on his health concerns, that would be a really great find for them, and that would give them a true big three. I really like Boogie's game. On top of that, I think a guy like Tobias Harris could be on the move. Maybe he ends up in a team like, very much possible, maybe a team like Brooklyn, or even maybe staying with Philadelphia. And the same thing with Jimmy Butler. Maybe Jimmy Butler stays there, or maybe we see a Jimmy Butler in Miami kind of situation. They're a team that I wouldn't rule out trying to make a big swing at a free agent. You know that Pat Riley isn't one to hesitate on trying to sell a guy on championships, and, you know, the glitz and glamour of Miami and everything down in Florida probably has some allure to those free agents who are looking for that payday. Whoever's going to give them the most money at that point, especially a guy like Jimmy Butler, who's looking 30 in the face right now. Off of that, I could see Anthony Davis staying with New Orleans, just depending on what they're able to sell him on. But I think at the end of the day, based on what he said, you know, saying even after that first overall pick getting pulled for the Pelicans, he still doesn't want to stay there. He hasn't changed his mind on the trade situation. I think that the Pelicans managed to flip him off to the highest bidder. I think Boston, the Lakers, the Knicks, and maybe even a surprise team that we don't even think of is going to swoop in and offer them the farm to get Anthony Davis in another uniform. And I think that it gives the Pelicans the real chance to build something special around Zion. And it's just going to be whoever can give the most young talent and give them some picks that can end up in the lottery. I think they're going to have an accelerated rebuild if they go ahead and ship out Anthony Davis. And who knows? I think the Western Conference teams have a little bit of a harder go about trading for him, just because, you know, you don't want to trade him to a team that's going to haunt you for the next 10-plus years. So that will be an interesting situation to shake out. And I think Kyrie Irving either stays or goes. I think at this point, it's a coin flip. I think it's how he feels on June 30th. You know, I think he's a temperamental guy, and it really depends on what kind of conversations are going on with Anthony Davis. I think the more news we hear about that, the more of an idea we have as we get closer to draft night. The Boston Celtics managed to pull some kind of trade that night. That might speak volumes. It might speak whether or not he's coming here. They trade for a guy that's not Anthony Davis on draft night. Who knows? But, you know, that's the reason why it's the reason why we watch. It's the reason why we listen to everything. We read as much as we can. And we hope that our teams make some improvements without gutting themselves. So, with that in mind, I think that makes up our episode today. Thank you, everyone, for giving us a listen. Thank you again, Rick Gibson, for being on as a guest today. Always awesome to talk basketball, especially when it comes to Lakers versus Celtics.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much. If you want to follow me, it's at RickyGibson23. You'll find more sports stuff. Just like you said in the very beginning, I'm an NBA savant. I love all NBA talk, so not just Laker stuff. You'll find all kinds of stuff, and it was a real pleasure being on, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having us with you today, I guess. Alrighty, and everybody, thank you for coming and listening to the episode, and give us a follow on Twitter, Celtics_Pulse, and you can find us on iTunes and Spotify. Thank you, everybody. Have a good one.